How do you do? A very wise man once wrote, "There is nothing new under the sun." Well, the man in this story wanted to see for himself, so he set out to explore the physical and spiritual world, pushing the boundaries. Most things he learned are as old as creation, but there is something new under the sun, something he found when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Bringing the good news with true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. It doesn't cost the homeless anything when they come to Pacific Garden Mission. The meals, clean clothing, safe bunk for the night, even medical and dental care are all given free to those without means. And it's been that way from the beginning, thanks to the generous gifts of friends and listeners who keep the porch light burning in the old lighthouse. Pastors and counselors give hope for the future when they tell the lost about the one who came to set them free of their guilt and shame. The new life that he offers them cost him everything. That's how valuable each one is who enters these doors. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2602 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Your mother called. She's preparing the meal on Yom Kippur this year. She wants us to be there a little early to help.
Fine.
Do you think Robert understands? He asked me what it meant to afflict your soul.
It's rubbish, that's what.
I told him it was part of our heritage, that some people feel the need to make atonement for their sins.
Don't let him think there's such a thing as sin, Irene. I already told him God is a myth, a primitive idea fabricated by weak people in need of a crutch. The rational man stands on his own by the superiority of his reason.
He seems awfully young to grasp that, Bernie.
Children understand the truth, and the truth is there is no God.
The man in our story was born in 1953 in Queens, New York, the youngest of three children in a family who had been atheists for many generations. Their faith was in science, rationalism, and humanism. Yet from a young age, he had a sense that God was watching him. This is the story of his journey of faith, the true story of Robert Rossette right now on Unshackled.
I grew up in a world strongly Jewish, where my grandparents spoke mostly Yiddish, and we had grand feasts on Hanukkah and Passover. Even Yom Kippur, a day of fasting for most Jews, was an historic curiosity for us. I absorbed my father's beliefs and could argue the atheist position with great certainty by the time I was eight. I struggled daily to remain unnoticed and unmolested by some of the neighborhood schoolboys who seemed to have a lot of hostility toward Jews.
Oh, don't slam the door, Rob.
Mom, a big kid threatened me just now.
How?
He blocked me so I couldn't ride my bike. He put his leg right around my front tire so I couldn't move.
Oh, ignore people like that, Rob.
You can't ignore some guy who's about to hurt you.
Oh, yes, you can. You just turn the other cheek. Well, anybody can be a brawler. It's a sign of inferiority. We're superior, so don't ever stoop to their level. Now, you just turn the other cheek and move on.
I didn't know then, as I tried to obey her, that those instructions originally came from Jesus. I attended a progressive Yiddish shul on Saturdays, where I learned Yiddish, Jewish history, songs, and dance, all within the context of a leftist political stance. My family and friends were constantly involved in the civil rights movements of the 60s, then with anti-war protests. My friends began to influence me more than my parents.
Hey, Rob! Want to do something after school?
I can't. I have to get a haircut.
Why?
My parents want me to.
Do you always do what your parents tell you? Come on, let's get together and have a jam session. You can check out my new bass guitar.
I wish I could learn bass, but Dad wants me to stick with folk guitar.
That's what I mean. It's your life. Why should your parents always have the final say?
Mm. I see now that his statement influenced me to turn against my parents. That same friend offered me marijuana, which I wasn't attracted to at first, but gradually smoking pot became the thing to do. My friends and I started a band, playing just for ourselves for a year or two. Then we got auditions and jobs. On Saturdays, we still went to the Milta Shula, and as we walked from the subway, we always passed a black man who waved a Bible and shouted, "Trust in Christ Jesus and remember to pray."
There's that guy again. If he said Jesus was a counter-revolutionary, I might listen.
Yeah.
Trust in whatever turns you on.
Yeah!
Hey, don't make fun of him. Hey, you have to have courage to do what that man does.
He's just crazy. Like that woman who hollers at invisible people in the phone booth.
Well, he's different. He's sincere.
He's just another Manhattan lunatic, Rob.
Did that man know something we didn't know? Like my friends, I wandered through many spiritual alleys trying to fill the emptiness inside. Zen, yoga, drugs, and the occult. I wrote a paper in high school about false messianic movements in Judaism and learned much about our need for redemption and a Messiah. One year on Halloween, I let one of my friends hypnotize me, then resented him because I'd given my will over to him. That was the start of many occult practices.
You guys ever tried teleportation?
Oh yeah, man. Two nights ago, I came home and lay down, and I felt this buzzing in my head. It swept through my whole body, and then I found myself flying through the air, right over Manhattan.
Wow, cool. What were you smoking?
Yeah, I hadn't smoked anything. Nothing to drink either. It was wild, looking down, coming to streets with nobody around except one person. I flew over him, and he was looking at me, and I kept looking at him. Then I felt the buzzing again, and I was in my bed.
That's far out, Rob.
Man, I fell into a deep sleep, and the next day I was so wiped out, I couldn't get up for school.
Superman!
Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound!
The seeds we were sowing, dabbling in the occult, would bear poisonous fruit in the years ahead, but I didn't know it then. I graduated from high school at age 16 and started college, still hungering for spiritual truth. I even went to an evangelism crusade at Madison Square Garden. I felt embarrassed at the simple faith those people had, yet the preacher's words stung me.
Maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking how you don't need God because you're so capable. You're educated and smart, and you know how to make money and get along in this world. Maybe you even feel self-righteous because you help others and give to the poor. But all your good works will not make you righteous in the sight of God. The Bible says in Psalm 14, verse 3, "They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one."
Yes. Yeah, amen.
My friend, amen, your sins have separated you from God.
I knew he was talking about me, and I had to restrain myself from going forward at the altar call. But I kept seeking truth from the occult. I was going to a commuter college and craved independence from my parents. Growing up in New York, I had a lot of fear about even talking to people, because in the big city, you're often ignored or treated badly. At the end of my freshman year, I came up with an idea to break out of my paternal imprisonment.
Are you ready to start summer school, Rob?
No, I plan to bike across the country.
Well, what's the point of that?
Well, seeing the country at ground level, testing my endurance.
Rob, you can't go off like that on your own. Anything could happen.
I'm not going alone, Mom. I'm going with another guy.
Well, if you let us know the route you're taking and keep in touch, it'll be okay.
Well, if you call every night.
I'm not calling every night, Mom. I'm not a child.
Every other night, then.
Twice a week would be adequate, Irene.
I can't wait to leave. So I biked across the U.S. when I was 18, and pedaling 8 to 10 hours a day helped me discharge years of anger over unnamed fears and unexplained emptiness. Halfway through the trek, my companion and I parted ways, which forced me to talk to people on my own. Being drug-free was also good. Along the way, I did some foolish, daredevil things that left me with a kind of religious awareness that someone was looking out for me. Back home, I found it hard to enter into civilization again.
I can't imagine sleeping on the ground in a field, all those bugs.
Oh, it's a good feeling, Mom, being independent and surviving on your own.
What's wrong with amenities?
What better amenity than the stars and the moon for a light and a river to sing you to sleep? Oh, for beauty, nothing beats the alpenglow on the mountains. Nature is so awesome, you can almost see why people believe in God.
You always were a little mystical.
I want to be surrounded by nature.
Well, this is New York, Rob. You can't sleep in Central Park. There are muggers.
Well, I can buy a step van and sleep in that.
Oh, we could just get you a little steering wheel and a stick shift and set them up in your room, and you could pretend you're in a step van. Well, at least you got that rambling out of your system already.
Actually, I want to go to Europe next summer and bike around the continent.
Alone?
No. I think I can convince my girlfriend to go with me.
Ah.
She needs to break out of her fears. The following summer, my girlfriend and I biked around Europe and down into Greece. Then she flew home to start college while I took the semester off. After working as crew on a yacht for a month, I flew to Cairo, then took a barge south on the Nile to Sudan. From there, I went to Ethiopia. I was looking for spiritual meaning in primitive cultures, but didn't find it. After 6 months away, I went home with an illness and a very high fever.
You say this started in Rome with a headache?
Yeah. Sometimes it got better. Oh, it got so bad flying home, I wanted to jump out of the airplane.
Here's another wet towel. Now give me that old one.
His temperature's still around 107.
Well, did you rub him with alcohol?
Yeah, nothing helps.
We have to do something.
I don't think that doctor made the right diagnosis. I've never heard of the flu being this bad.
Who knows what he might have picked up in Africa?
I'm going to check the encyclopedia. Rob, did you sleep under mosquito netting when you were in Ethiopia?
Not when I was in the Abbey Gorge.
I think you have malaria. Call an ambulance, Irene. Let's get him to the hospital.
In a moment, we'll hear about the real cure that lay ahead for Robert. We have a unique way to reach almost anyone with the good news, and that's through one of our Unshackled comic books. Each one is based on a true testimony that was broadcast on the radio, and each one illustrates a life saved from the destructiveness of sin by the grace of God. We'd like to send you a free copy of Donna Disser's story. Now, Donna was a typical girl led astray by friends who began drinking beer and smoking marijuana. She was leading a double life, working at a Christian radio station, when the truth of God reached her troubled heart. Anyone, young or old, saved or lost, can identify with her struggle for freedom gained through Christ. Many use these pocket-sized comic books as a way to evangelize, since everyone is drawn to pictures. So write for your free copy of the Donna Disser comic book today. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
Medicine eradicated the malaria, and I was home in 4 days. I never had a relapse, though I pretended to once when I was getting bad grades. I'd been through so much and felt so jaded that going back to college was anticlimactic. My attitude and my grades both suffered from too many experiences too soon and too much marijuana. I broke up with my girlfriend after 5 years, blaming her for the slump in my life. It seemed I'd done it all by age 19. Then I fell in love with Diana, a fellow music student.
That was incredible how you came to my Christmas party that first time with your saxophone. You entertained everyone.
Yeah, how I got stuck in the snow trying to leave. You had to shovel me out.
Yeah, you know, I sure wouldn't mind living in a warmer climate after I graduate.
Hey, let's go out west this summer.
Oh.
I have a friend in Oregon who invited me to stay at his place.
It sounds like fun.
I'll take my sax and we can have jam sessions. That summer, Diana and I hitchhiked to Oregon and stayed at my friend's house, where I practiced frantically on my alto sax. One night, we saw an ad for musicians at a coffee house downtown, so we took a bus there and auditioned. Afterward, the bass player drove us home.
So you tour from New York?
Yeah, that's right.
We're both music majors at Queens College.
Are you married?
No.
Oh, you're living together?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad. God calls that sin. But you love each other, right?
Oh, yes.
Well, God wants us to live holy lives, but you can't do that unless you're born again of the Spirit of God.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that we're all born with a sin nature and are slaves to sin thanks to Adam's choice. But God, in His mercy, offers salvation to all through Jesus Christ. And when it's received, He gives us the Holy Spirit and we're born again. God says the penalty for sin is death, so He sent His Son, Jesus, to die in our place, to pay the penalty for us on the cross. The Bible says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him."
I heard that once before from an evangelist in New York. Substitution.
Exactly. The Lamb of God who becomes the propitiation for our sin.
Far out.
When you accept Jesus as your substitute, His death for your sins, God forgives you and puts His Holy Spirit in you. Then you have the power to live for Him.
You make it sound so compelling.
It's the truth, Robert. Jesus came to set us free, to give us a new life. He gives you the power to overcome Satan. He said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly."
I wish I had your faith, David.
All you have to do is ask, Diana. Faith is a gift from God, and He's the only one who can give you eternal life.
Diana and I both felt the presence of God that night, along with a conviction about our lifestyle, but we weren't ready to make changes, so we backed away. As soon as Diana graduated, I dropped out of college, and we bought a van, stuck a very small piano inside, and left for California with my dog and 6 new puppies. We parked in a seedy part of Berkeley, where the other band members shared a house and did odd jobs and drugs. It was a pretty wild life.
I got a job today as a waitress.
Good.
Maybe now we can get a place to live, huh? Like real people.
I'm trying to meditate.
I'm trying to get out of this insane lifestyle we're living. All those deadbeats who never work or wash a dish, they sleep all day.
Diana, they're up all night playing music.
Robert, we need a life of our own. There must be 20 dogs out there in that front yard, and there are 20 million fleas.
Okay, we'll get an apartment. Now let me meditate.
Oh, you want to meditate? Try this.
Ow! She threw the Bible at me. I didn't realize the stress our weird lifestyle had in Diana. I was too busy trying to develop my own righteousness through meditation, a strict vegetarian diet, and Kundalini yoga. During the day, I'd play my saxophone on Telegraph Avenue to earn a few dollars. Then I'd play music with the band half the night. I was also making instruments, flutes and bamboo clarinets. About the time our band disintegrated, I got a job repairing musical instruments as an apprentice. I had fallen under the influence of a man who was like a guru to me.
I see you gave up smoking, Robert. That's good.
A psychic told me my soul looked like Swiss cheese, and I started thinking about it. I saw that my life progressed from one cigarette to another like a slave, so I made up my mind to give it up, cold turkey.
It was time for your jazz group to dissolve, Rob. Everything has a season.
I still hope to make it big in jazz, but some other way, I guess. That's karma.
Jazz is bourgeois. The highest kind of music conveys spiritual truth, not animal frenzy.
Well, spiritual things have always intrigued me. I've been reading the Gospel of John, as you suggested, and I love it.
I wanted you to understand the betrayal. Close friends sometimes have to do things for the greater good, even if it hurts someone.
I suppose that's true.
I'd like to start a new music group with spiritual force. Diana won't fit in. The piano isn't part of the sound I envision. Besides, you can't travel with a piano.
I didn't realize how the group was alienating Diana, putting her down, pushing her away. One day, without telling anyone, she took the van and left. A few days later, she called to say she was in Yosemite. My guru coached me on how to sever the relationship before I took a bus there to see her.
I missed you too, Rob. But I just couldn't take it anymore.
Take what?
Don't you see what they're doing to me? I get letters telling me I'm not acceptable, signed God. Well, they treat me as if I'm not even there. I feel like I'm going crazy.
I'm sorry, honey. I'll make them see how important you are to me.
Why Why do you care what they think?
They're my friends.
I'm not going back there, Robert.
You've got to, Diana. How will it look to them, huh? You made me look like a fool.
I don't care how it looks. I'm going to Florida to see my parents. I need to be alone for a while. I need to think things over.
Well, I'll go with you as far as New Mexico. There's a rainbow gathering there. After New Mexico, Diana drove on to Florida while I caught a ride back to Berkeley. My guru friend rejected me for having reconciled with Diana. Left me a note saying, "Too bad, you lose," signed God. I was so deceived. I contemplated suicide. I spent a week in my apartment with the blinds drawn, fasting and meditating, and even calling on the name of Jesus. Hello?
Robert, I have some wonderful news.
Oh, so do I.
What?
My eyes have been opened about our gypsy friend, and I've completely severed my relationship with him.
Oh, thank God.
God had a hand in it, Diana. Yeah, I've been reading the Bible, and it showed me how deceived I was.
I've been reading the Bible, too. That's why I called. My sister is here, and she took me to a prayer meeting. She's born again, Rob, and now so am I. I received Christ.
That's great, honey. Are you coming back to California? I want us to be together.
Well, yes, I'll come back, but we can't live together, Rob. Now we have to get married.
Diana came back, and we were together again. By then, I was telling people that I was a Christian, which gave me a liberated feeling, but I was far from committed to Christ, less than halfway. I still had some strange ideas, like reincarnation. When we couldn't find a church to get married in, we knelt in our living room and said vows to each other. In the fall, we drove to Washington to pick apples, then on to Portland, where we again met up with David, the musician who had witnessed to us.
Tell me what's going on with you two.
I prayed to receive Christ, David. I'm born again. And it's just the way you described it, knowing Jesus. It's wonderful.
That's great, Diana. How about you, Rob?
I love to read what Jesus teaches in the Bible. In fact, I've even been persecuted a few times. But the church has a lot of shortcomings. Historically, they failed. I mean, look at the Crusades and the Spanish Inquisition. So I have questions. I have to decide for myself what is truth. And I think God understands that.
You know what I hear? You want to be knowledgeable, but you haven't humbled yourself before God.
His words struck me to the heart, as if I were made entirely of glass, with cracks spreading throughout my whole being. All my arguments, all my pride fell to pieces at his words. David invited us to his house the next morning to hear his wife's testimony. As they prayed for me, I felt an overwhelming presence. For the first time, I acknowledged that I was a sinner, and at that point received Jesus' complete forgiveness. I wept for what seemed like hours. Diana and I then moved to a retreat in California and married. I received Bible instruction from Messianic Jews because I wanted a greater understanding of my people.
How did your parents enjoy their visit here, Rob?
Well, they soaked up a lot of love from the people here, but they don't accept our faith.
At least they accept you.
They never did believe in God, so we had a lot of arguments. I sure understand why God calls us a stiff-necked people.
And yet he entrusted the gospel to us first. All part of his awesome plan to bring salvation to the world.
I tried to show him how the prophets foretold the coming of Christ in Isaiah chapter 53, and where Jeremiah says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." It fell on deaf ears.
The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
It sure is the power of God. The Lord has taken away my fears, one by one. All that anger and depression. I was always trying to be somebody, but Jesus gave me peace.
Notice in Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 and 20, he makes a promise. "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." And that promise is fulfilled when we receive Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new."
Diana and I spent 7 years at that retreat, and I worked as a woodwind repairman. 2 children were born to us. Then one day the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "What are you saving it all for?"
What do you mean, Robert?
Well, the Lord reminded me of all the blessings he's given me. A good education, good health, a sound mind. All meant to serve him.
I believe that.
Then I felt a prompting from him that I should become a doctor.
Well, honey, if that's what he wants, then you should do it.
How can that be, Diana? We have a family to support. We better pray about this to make sure. We prayed for a year, and God opened every door. I was 32 when I started medical school, and he helped me finish, giving me such love for my work. Today, I work in a rural clinic in Soledad, treating migrant workers. I pray with my patients. My heart echoes the words of Psalm 116, verses 12 and 13. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord.
We hope Dr. Robert Rossette's story has encouraged you to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. No matter what you've done or where you've been, Jesus paid the price for your redemption. He came to set you free, and he lives today ready to come into your heart and life to give you joy and power. Invite him into your heart and life today. And if you need help in making this crucial decision, just get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and you can visit us on our website at unshackled.org. Do these stories help you understand God's grace and love? Then tell someone who needs to hear the gospel how and when they can listen to these true testimonies. And please thank the manager of this station for bringing you Unshackled. This is program number 2602. Heard in the true story of Robert Rossette were Tom Geitsch, Tony Marcus, Judith Easton, Kim Rasmussen, and Jack Bivens. Original music, Ralph Colburn. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. We really do look forward to hearing from you. The address, simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Are you feeling overwhelmed? Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. Area 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462. Thank you.